Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Easy Cater, committed to helping companies solve food. From employee meal plans to on-site staffing to concierge ordering support. With corporate accounts, nationwide restaurant coverage, and payment by invoice. EasyCater.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor Grammarly. 96% of users report that Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Save time with one click and go from editing drafts in hours to seconds. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions to help your team make their point and move faster. Make a bigger impact at work. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly, easier said, done.
You're listening to Shortwave from NPR. Maddie Sofia here with our very own shortwave reporter and sometimes host, Emily Kwong. Greetings, Emily Kwong.
Hi, Maddie.
Hi, Emily.
Hello.
Why are we whispering?
Because today's episode is about ASMR.
I'm going to get out of whisper mode for a moment.
Great. It was creeping me out.
And explain, me too, with a quick story from a scientist in the UK named Julia.
My name is Julia Puerio. I haven't thought about my age. I'm 31.
Julia is about to start lecturing at the University of Essex this winter. And she still remembers vividly being a little girl. And occasionally, she would get this very distinct feeling in certain situations.
Really early examples would be things like watching my mum brush her hair or put her makeup on, getting my feet measured for school shoes, a teacher explaining something to me really carefully.
And Maddie, in situations like these, she would enter this trance-like state of relaxation.
The feeling itself is a warm, tingling sensation that starts at the crown of the head, almost like bubbles under the scalp.
That's not where bubbles go.
And can spread throughout the rest of the body, so down the spine and through the limbs.
That brain tingling feeling, experienced by some people, is called ASMR, Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, a psychophysiological experience reliably triggered by certain things like whispering, personal attention, soft voices, a whole host of things.
So today on the show, ASMR researcher Julia Puerio helps us explain the science behind the sensation.
And we ask, does this have anything to do with the slime trend oozing across the internet?
I don't like it.
It's coming for you, Maddie Sofia.
This message comes from NPR sponsor AT&T Business. With a voice as calm and soothing as Rainn Wilson's, it was inevitable he either worked for NPR or invented a talking pillow. He went with the pillow. Sleep with Rainn, powered by AT&T Business, featuring his voice, designed to help people sleep. Kinda brilliant. Even smarter? Launching a new business with AT&T Business's security, reliability, and expertise. Make your next-level ideas a reality with the only next-level network. Take your business to the next level at business.att.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HubSpot. More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Doing business has never felt harder. But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You just need HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: higher quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today. This message comes from NPR sponsor Stamps.com. When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Sign up at stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Okay, so, Maddie.
Yes, ma'am.
Our tour guide through the world of ASMR is Julia Puerio.
We're going to hear from her in a bit. She is a real life person who experiences ASMR.
A real live one.
And researches it. ASMR is not exactly a big field of scientific study, and it's only been a thing in public discussion for about a dozen years. That's about when, in 2007, people began to find each other and build communities online, calling this feeling they had ASMR.
So these people just, like, get really zenned out by whispering?
There's a whole host of different triggers for different people. It could be whispering, soft tapping, rustling of paper. There seems to be a visual component to all of this, but not always. Things like slow movements, delicate hand gestures can induce an ASMR experience. One of the most popular ASM artists on YouTube, that's what the people who make these ASMR videos online are called, is ASMR Darling. Here she is quietly touching a little house made of Legos with her fingernails.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Here she is unwrapping a Starburst.
Yeah, that is a Starburst and being unwrapped.
My personal favorite, here she is counting down slowly in a whisper from 1,000.
1,999. 998.
These videos,
997.
They get millions of views on YouTube.
996.
When you and I hear this, we hear it. But for some people, they feel it. And that's what happens for Julia and those who experience ASMR.
It's a little bit like music-induced chills or awe-inspired chills. So sometimes, you know, if you hear an amazing speech, like a Martin Luther King speech, you might get those kind of those goosebumps, those shivers up your spine, which is a really kind of complex, emotional, aesthetic response that some people experience and other people don't.
So this is a young woman doing this, and you're, like, looking at her face, and she's really close to the camera.
Mm.
It seems very intimate. Is this, like, is this a sex thing, Kwong?
To be honest, that was my initial thought, too. I don't experience ASMR, but Julia said, based on studies she's done monitoring those who do, ASMR is not the feeling of getting turned on.
In our research, we, of course, measured people's heart rates, and on average, heart rate decreased when people watched ASMR videos, which is exactly the opposite of what you would expect if it was somehow a sexually arousing feeling.
I don't know why, but that makes me feel better about it.
Hmm. It is. It's something else.
So if it's not like this sexual feeling, what is it? Like, in the brains of people who experience it, what's going on?
We don't actually know what is happening truly in the brains of people who experience it, nor how many people experience it at all. The important thing to know here is there isn't a ton of scientific research on this topic. There is one study, though, that really interested Julia. It's a 2016 paper by Canadian researchers that looked at the brains of people who experience ASMR when their brains were in a restful state, basically not doing anything. And they looked at this specific network within the brain.
Something called the default mode network, which is associated with things like daydreaming and mind wandering and also self-referential thought. And what they found was that essentially that they thought that the brain network activity at rest shows that they're less able to inhibit sensory and emotional responses.
Basically, they were less able to separate the link between what their senses are picking up and what they're feeling in their bodies. Sensory emotional experiences weren't as suppressed.
Okay, that makes sense to me. They experience their senses in a different way than, like, I experience my senses or something like that.
Kind of. Like I said, this is one of many early studies. And what's also interesting is how people are experimenting with new ASMR triggers on the internet. Remember the oozing I mentioned earlier?
Yeah, I remember that. It was unfortunate.
I have with me in my hand something that produces sound, and I'm going to introduce it to you.
Ugh. You did that with a nice little bit of flair.
So what I'm holding in my hand is slime.
Oh, my God.
Phloem, technically. Slime with little foam pieces inside. Do you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Well, in the last few years, there's been a boom in videos of people manipulating slime. Yeah. It'll have color or glitter or charms mixed into it. People have gotten very creative with their slimes. It's fun to play with, and it also has a sound. Not doing it for you?
No, it's not. It's doing something different.
In fact, you are shrinking in your seat, trying to get as far away from me as possible.
I don't like it.
Do you want to play with it?
I mean...
Why did you give me
you?
Why did you give me the fart one?
I brought this in because if you search hashtag ASMR on Instagram right now, guess how many posts come up? 7.6 million.
Oh my God.
And the vast, not vast majority, but a number of them are videos of people doing exactly what you're doing right now. Just manipulating slime and making these satisfying squishy sounds.
Are there groups of people who experience anti-ASMR? Like, yeah. Instead of feeling soothed right now, I feel very unsettled and my belly hurts.
That would be called misophonia. Different episode. We wanted to ask our scientist, Julia, if slime is a bona fide trigger for ASMR.
I mean, I guess there are parallels. Probably people who experience ASMR would experience ASMR when they're watching things like slime videos. However, one thing I would say is that actually there's been quite a lot of interlocking between different kind of trends. So ASMR and slime and things like mukbang have all kind of...
Side note, mukbang started in South Korea. It broadcasts people eating food while talking to their audience with high quality microphones.
What a nightmare.
The internet.
Slime and things like mukbang have almost piggybacked onto the ASMR trend. So,
sure, what under the sometimes category on the internet of oddly satisfying?
Yeah, or the hashtag ASMR, because I suspect it is piggybacking on ASMR as a kind of term to get people to watch videos.
So when you see a video of someone, let's say, cutting soap or icing a cookie, someone playing with really pretty slime, that may be oddly satisfying, but if you don't have the brain tingles, it's not ASMR that's talking to you. At the same time, Julia said that the more ASMR is linked to things like slime videos, that could change what it means for people on the internet. She's focused, though, on the world of science and has a lot of outstanding questions. Why do some people experience it and others don't? Why do some people experience it at a higher intensity than others? And also, and this is really interesting to me, what is the effect of ASMR on sleep?
So we know anecdotally that people who experience ASMR use these videos on YouTube to help them go to sleep. And I guess a question is, well, why does ASMR help you go to sleep? And another important question with regards to sleep is, you know, does it not only help you get to sleep, but does it also improve the quality of your sleep?
So, for some people, this might be like the modern day version of counting sheep.
Who says counting sheep?
1,999. Thanks again to Julia Poerio in the UK. And special thanks to Emmanuel Johnson and NPR's Vanessa Castillo for their help on this episode.
And thank you, Emily Kwong, reporter for Shortwave here at NPR's Science Desk, and sometimes slimy host of Shortwave.
You're welcome.
I'm Maddie Sofia. Come back tomorrow to hear my trip into the rainforest of Washington State, where we swing from the trees with a pioneering scientist who researches the canopy. It's a whole nother world up there. And she wants to get more female scientists into it. That's tomorrow on Shortwave from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Greenlight. Want to teach your kids financial literacy? With Greenlight, kids and teens use a debit card of their own, while parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and savings in the app. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
On Wildcard, the new podcast from NPR, you'll hear people like comedian Jenny Slate reflect on their lives.
What is something you think about very differently today than you did 10 years ago?
Dressing, like not salad dressing. I've always loved it and I'll never stop. Dressing my body.
That's all part of the new game show Wildcard, only from NPR. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.